Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Friends with Friends. My name's Pete Allison, and joining me for what is strictly a work event is Dave Cribb.
Ahoy, hoy. I've got my suitcase of booze at the ready.
Suitcase of booze. It's just, it's mental. Imagine taking a suitcase into a supermarket.
Well, that's, do you know what? People, like, it sounds like, right, there's a number of things. This is going to really date this episode for anyone that's listening back, like in a year or 2 years. But it's obviously at the time when they had all the parties at number 10.
Dave, that could be at any point in the last couple of years, yeah. By the sound of it. That's true, not aging actually. It's evergreen.
No, that's absolutely true. And yeah, we've heard the detail that someone got sent out with a suitcase of booze to go to Co-op, I believe it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Of all places, and just stock up. So it sounds like a good plan, right? I can see the person leaving with a suitcase. No suspicion. Although, like, when you get back, surely security are going to be like, well, you just left with a suitcase a minute ago. How was your holiday?
Anyway. The moment that you're at a self-service checkout putting things into a suitcase, like, that is a genuinely unexpected item in the bagging area, isn't it?
That is suspicious at best, isn't it? Yeah, so it's absolutely wild. And I don't know how much booze, like, a Co-op isn't usually big enough to even accommodate you carrying that much booze to a till. You know, it's a small shop. It's all too much. And then dragging it back, clinking. I mean, it's police, isn't it, on the door of Downing Street? Actual, like, Metropolitan Police as well. How have they not clocked this?
So
they
many
just not hear the parties?
So many questions.
So, all right, well, let's crack on with... Well, very well chosen episode. Partygate, no less. Shall we have the request?
Who's it from, Dave?
It's from Amy. The real question is, when's it from, Pete? May the 1st. Thanks, glad you asked. Ahoy hoy, Dave and Pete. Love the podcast. Every episode makes me laugh. Oh, thanks, Amy. I suggest the one where Joey moves out. The title explores the reasons people have roommates, financial or companionship reasons. Yeah. And I like to think after this episode, every time Rachel makes the decision, she hears Phoebe saying, "You are the boss of you," in her head. I'm so glad she chooses to get the tattoo. And I love Tom Selleck, so any Richard plot is enjoyable. And the moment Ross is taken away the bat from Jack is one of my favourite moments. That's a very strong moment. Thanks for making the podcast, Amy. Thanks for making the request, Amy. Dave and Pete. Season 2, episode...
16,
thank you. Just scrolling. It's a Michael Lembecker, everyone.
Oh.
Did I learn a fact about Michael Lembeck recently? Oh, this is a...
I can't answer that question.
You only have conversations with someone and you go, I'll bank that because it's something interesting for the podcast. And I have a feeling it was something to do with Michael Lembeck. But no. So it was about Robbie Benson. It wasn't about Michael Lembeck at all.
Robbie Benson
also directed episodes of Friends.
I have to feel like we've never mentioned him.
No, we haven't, because, and this is the thing, I was going to save it for one where Robbie Benson had directed it, but I've not done that now. We've jumped ahead of the game, and that's fine. Robbie Benson, director of Friends, also was the voice of the Beast in Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, that is a good fact.
Isn't it? Hmm. What a diverse portfolio he has, career-wise. Anyway, the one where Joey moves out, season 2, episode 16, 457316. Now that he has a steady income, Joey thinks he should have his own apartment and moves out, upsetting Chandler. Monica struggles to tell her parents she's dating Richard, and Rachel and Phoebe want to get tattoos, but Phoebe chickens out at the last minute. Ross changes his mind about tattoos altogether. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, we know the drill. So where do you want to start? Party 1, party 2, or... Oh, hang on, wait. Hang on. Party 1, party 2... Or Tattoo.
Despite that, I think we should start with a tattoo.
I just a party two sounded like tattoo, and I was trying to work it in. It would have been better. Party one, party two, or tattoo.
Oh no, I saw what you were trying to do.
I absolutely admit that I failed at it completely, but I just nice to see the working, isn't it? Okay, Phoebe and Rachel getting tattoos. So before we start on the actual tattoo plot itself, the whole episode starts really nicely, doesn't it? Because they're all in the kitchen. It's really, I think it's like an unremarked upon thing quite often in Friends, but the way this episode starts after the cold open is just them all sitting around the table in Monica and Rachel's, and they set up all three plots in about a minute and a half, and
yeah, it's very
well
tidy,
written.
Isn't it? Very
it's
tidy.
So tidy. We get the tattoo, we get the coma pizza, coma party, and we get the fact that it's Jack's party and Richard's coming.
Sounds like
a
terrible pizza.
Yeah, and we set up the fact that Monica is going to her parents, and she's taking, and Richard's going, and you know, she's nervous about that. It's just so neatly done, isn't it? It's just like one of those things where you think, fair fucks to you all.
One thing that it does highlight, each time I had a tattoo, I feared my family's reaction, even though I'm a fully grown adult.
How many tattoos have you got?
I've got two, but this is a Friends with Friends exclusive. I am actually getting my third quite soon.
Are you? What do you have so far?
I have a Leeds United reference on my forearm, and then I have a tally counting to five on my foot.
What's the reference of that? Anything?
Because I ran five half marathons in 5 days, but I don't like to talk about it.
I've never mentioned that.
That
actually,
was the foot that I absolutely fucked up.
Destroyed.
Doing that, yeah.
Oh, good. So what's your third one going to be then? God, this is an exclusive.
I'm getting like an outline geometric drawing of an Icelandic mountain range on my inner bicep, Dave.
Oh, lovely. That's where you went last year, right?
Yes, it's my favourite place.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, good. I've got no tattoos, so if anyone's got any, I quite would like one, but I don't know what to get. So.
Rachel's tattoo is shit, by the way.
It's bad, isn't it?
Like,
it's
mine are pretty cheaply done, and I'm not pretending that they're, like, high art, but yeah. Rachel's is shite.
As in the quality of the tattoo, you mean?
Well, and also, just what's the point?
Yeah, no, I agree with that, but the quality of it is also, like, I mean, it's clearly a stick-on sticker, isn't it, on a skin, like, it's not a real tattoo, but they haven't really gone to many lengths to disguise the fact that it's just...
It looks like it's been done with felt tip, doesn't it?
Yeah, like a children's party sticker, you know?
Yeah.
Also, in this first scene, when they're all sitting around the table chatting about it, did you notice how Ross enters the conversation? He walks in, right? And it's just like one of those things that you probably would never have noticed if you're just watching it normally, but obviously we're watching every bloody stupid moment for this podcast, and everyone, they're just having a chat, and Phoebe says the line, you know, on my shoulder, as Ross opens the door, and like he doesn't yet know they're talking about tattoos, but the way he just blusters in was, what's on your shoulder, it's so weird,
yeah,
because he hasn't been part of the conversation at all. So it's just like walking into a room and just hearing someone go, you know, two pizzas or something. What pizzas? When did you get pizza? Why get pizza? It's such a weirdly aggressive way to enter a room.
Man, fucking chill out, Ross.
Yeah, what's on your shoulder? And then you get that little funny Phoebe quip about having a chip on her shoulder. But it's just weird. They sort of demand it. And then Ross in this scene isn't... I know he turns around at the end of the episode, but he's playing like... Feels like he's playing the character of one of those educational videos you watch at school about not taking drugs.
Yeah.
You know? Why would you want somebody to mark your body permanently and you can never... It's like, oh, shut up, Ross. No one cares.
I love Phoebe insisting her tattoo is what she wanted and her coming up with this sort of story of, oh, it's... What she says just about how it's her mum, how her mum sees her from heaven. Like the way she really commits to her tiny dot tattoo. It's great.
I just love the idea that Phoebe's sort of concept of heaven. You'd think if you'd lost
it's just like
someone,
up in space.
Someone close to you, you'd want them to be actually looking down on you, right?
I think in my head that's kind of how, I mean, I'm not a believer, but if I was, I think I would think that they were just sort of up there floating somewhere.
Just sort of like on like Uranus or Pluto or something. Yeah, just thinking of the faraway planet, and then I realised...
What a weird planet to go for. Yeah, all our dead loved ones are on Uranus. That's where they are. What the hell?
It's your go-to funny planet, isn't it? And also, Pluto's not even a planet anymore. All right, Neptune.
What
then?
Is Pluto these days? Is it just like gas or something?
Is it like a dwarf planet or something? Hang on.
Hello, astronomers.
We are butchering your area of expertise. Hang on, can I just say it's a bloody dwarf planet? I was absolutely right.
Do you know the difference between a meteor and a meteorite?
No, you're going to tell me?
A meteorite's when it's hit the Earth.
Is it? Is that
never
right?
Called a meteorite when it's in space. It's only a meteorite.
Is that meteorite, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, good. There you go. Well, there you go. We're learning a lot about... I've not fact-checked that, so maybe the astronomers will get in touch and say that...
Come fight me, astronomers.
Come fight Pete. Come fight Pete.
I reckon I probably could take an astronomer.
If you win the fight, you can then get a tattoo of a meteorite on your... as your next one.
On your anus.
On your... yes, but yeah, no, but I just would have thought that, like, my concept of this is a weird sentence I never thought I'd say on this podcast, but my concept of heaven is a bit more like it's just a bit more like you'd like to think, if it were a thing, that people could, like, see what you're doing, not all the time, obviously you want private time, but like see, like, what you're up to, not just look at the tiny blue dot from...
Yeah, but you wouldn't want them being able to see what you're up to at any time.
No, I like to...
Like, you'd want visiting hours.
Yeah, you'd like to think there's a system whereby, like, if I close my bedroom door...
Yeah, that's then heaven can't out, you know? See you.
Yeah. But yeah, okay, there is a flaw in that, and I guess Phoebe's version of the sort of heaven on Uranus is better because you can't see the details of your life.
But another important tattoo point. Why is Rachel's tattoo considered so sexy that she and Ross must immediately bang?
Well, we talked earlier before we started recording about pizza, right? And so actually, this is a story worth just very quickly telling. Your parents had leftover pizza, right? And it was two full pizzas, right? That's the amount of leftovers they had from just pizza for themselves. Ross here is clearly bringing pizza for the entire group.
And has only got one.
Yeah. One pizza. And he says, save us some pizza. How? There's three of them about to eat one pizza, mate. You're not going to... There's not going to be much saved in this.
They need to invite my parents household. And then they'll have plenty.
Well, yeah, but yeah, literally what happened is he looks at this child's sticker of a heart and goes, I must bang you immediately, which says more about Ross than it does about his sort of beliefs and long-held morals, you know? It's a good job he did spot it in the kitchen, Ross, isn't it? Because what's Rachel's plan otherwise?
Yeah, true.
Just to never tell him? Did she get it on her left side because that's the side of the bed she sleeps on and, like, just hopes that he never spots it when they're in bed?
Of all the people who are going to see your naked body, your boyfriend is probably top of the list.
So, but also it's on a hip as well. It's on a bit of your body that might get seen by other people as well occasionally, you know? It's not like it's in a... Well, I'm not going to say the planet name again, but it's not like it's in a like a deep, dark crevice or somewhere that's often covered up, an intimate area, you know? It's on your bloody hip. Anyway, there you go. So not enough pizza, Ross, and quickly abandoned your long-held beliefs on tattoos. I'd say... So far, not a great Ross moment, eh?
True.
All right, Joey and Chandler at a party or Monica and Ross at a party?
Steve, Joey and Chandler.
Yes, the coma. Tell you what, Days of Our Lives loves a coma, doesn't it?
Loves a coma and loves a staff party.
Yeah, there's so a staff party. There's so many staff parties of Days of Our Lives. Everyone's always having... I guess if you were on telly in your sort of late 20s, you would mostly be having parties, wouldn't you?
That's true. If you're and like, rich, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. If you're young and rich living in New York, you'd be like, right, this is party town. I'm amazed Joey doesn't have more parties, actually, to be fair. Like, that new apartment is nice, isn't it? It's a nice apartment. It's sort of like a swankier apartment. Like, Joey's, even when he's on telly later and doing well, always lives in that sort of slightly crummy... apartment that they have, you know?
But one comment about the apartment that he is eyeing up.
Yeah.
The person who's currently living in it says park views of his apartment and then points out the window at like walls and walls of concrete. It's like, where's the park? You see out like the bathroom window? Like, how do you see the park?
If you look down, there's a tiny, tiny park between...
Park views from certain angles in one room.
In one room, yeah. I mean, talking about the guy giving the tour... I still don't understand how real estate how renting works in America. Why is the guy leaving the apartment giving Joey the tour and like doing the big sell?
Yeah, like he's abdicating.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to pass this on. I get to, and because the same with Ross and Ugly Naked Guy, isn't it? Like, he's the person that chooses who rents your apartment next. Is that honestly how it works, Americans? Because that is insane. Why doesn't the person that owns the apartment have a sort of legal contract with the next person rather than... It's not. Yeah, like you're quite right. Like, there's a sort of royal lineage and they get to pass it down to whoever they want, you know?
Let's go back right to the start of the Joey and Chandler bit, because there's some
like
important...
Think about the spoons.
Licking and putting.
The spoon. That really stresses me out.
Really worrying that Joey doesn't see that as an issue, but it kind of fits with his character, I think. Having said that, while there is a bit of an ongoing joke about him being sort of quite childish when it comes to like looking after himself and stuff, we don't often get a sense that he's... Oh, no, I guess he is unwashed a few times and not very... I was going to say, like, he doesn't strike you as, like, a dirty person.
No, I don't find...
It's just that moment after he's been fishing, but that's kind of understandable.
Yeah, but that's, like, a circumstantial thing, isn't it? Rather than... He's not, like, a disgusting... Like, licking the spoon and putting it in a drawer is... That's proper disgusting, isn't it? That is, like... That even just thinking about that gives me the heebie-jeebies. Like, even when we were students living in filthy houses and with nine other people, I don't know about you, Pete, I never licked a spoon and put it back in the drawer.
No, me neither.
And if you did that, if for some reason you did that or didn't wash a thing, but you wouldn't do it right in front of the people you lived with, would you? You'd have, like, there'd be a level of self-awareness that kicks in there as well. So Joey's awareness of what he's doing is so low that it's worrying.
He also mentions having used Chandler's toothbrush.
Yeah, to clear out the drain, to unplug the drain.
Yeah, which is... Although, if your toothbrush had been used to clear out a drain, it would be really clear that it had been used for that purpose.
Yeah, but imagine you used that afterwards.
Yeah,
God, that's horrible, isn't it?
Awful.
Oh, God, it really makes me shudder. Can we talk about outfits for a moment? We don't often talk about fashion in Friends, because it's us. But...
All right.
Two things. All right, okay. Because it's me and you're more fashionable. All right, get offended. But at the start, they're in very sort of... Can we talk about a
sexy
dressing
gowns? They're
almost
matching, aren't they?
Yeah, like matching sort of a weird Victorian look. They're both wearing white T-shirts.
My
very
best dressing gown.
White T-shirts. And yeah, my best dressing gown, exactly. It's very
Michael
Caine.
That was a Muppets Christmas Carol reference.
Got it straight away. But they are very... it's just... I don't know. It just doesn't quite fit with how my experience of like men in their 20s living together would hang out, you know?
A dressing gown's still on.
I don't think... I've got a dressing gown and I bloody love my dressing gown. It's absolutely great. But it's really a thing I wear when I'm alone, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, it's not... I don't think it's something I would necessarily wear in company. I don't know, I might be wrong. I'll have to think about my dressing gown usage. Have you got a dressing gown?
No, I haven't.
No, you should get one. They're, like, I've got a proper, like, fluffy, massive one. It sort of substitutes for a blanket on the sofa on a hangover day, you know, that kind of vibe.
Okay, fair.
I'm not really fussed about wearing one for the sake of wearing one. I just wear my pyjamas. Like, they've got their pyjamas on, clearly, haven't they?
There's also that great bit where they're doing a bit of packing. And Joey reveals that they've been using, is it one of Rachel's bras?
Yeah.
Me and my sister used to use a bra to launch toilet rolls down the stairs when we were children.
Did you really?
Yeah, they weren't my mum's bras. It was my auntie lived with us briefly and we used to, I don't know whether she knows this. We used to use her bras as like toilet roll flingers.
Now, how did you get the bra?
In the washing.
Oh, you found it from the washing. Right, okay, that's...
Oh, yeah, we wouldn't retrieve the bra from her drawers. Well,
this is exactly my point. Like, Joey and Chandler sort of bat it off. Like, Joey's like, oh, it's not what you think. Like, it wasn't weird, sexy stuff. But they've still had to go into Rachel's, like, drawer or into their washing and get a bra, haven't they?
And move like, it out of her flat into their own.
That's what I mean. It's a bit odd that she wasn't aware of it. I mean, it's in keeping with the sort of dysfunctional makeup of the group, but it's a bit odd. And then the other thing about outfits and clothes is Joey and Chandler walk into Monica and Rachel's and Phoebe goes, ooh, fancy lad. Look at you, fancy lads, or something. Like they're wearing black tie. At that point, Chandler is wearing a cardigan with a white T-shirt, and Joey is wearing, like, it's like basically a fleece jumper, isn't it?
Love that.
They're just sort of wearing quite plain, regular, everyday clothes. Like, ooh, fancy lads, look at you. It's like, yeah, they're not in the bloody dressing gowns for once.
I do think the nice Joey and Chandler bit in this is there's a real... bearing in mind we're in, what, sort of midway through season two, there's kind of a deepening of their friendship in this bit. Because the fallout over the foosball table and stuff, like, who gets it is very sort of relationship-y. There's a few of those sort of examples of, like, parody conversations with, like, a breakup of relationship. And it's all quite lighthearted and jokey until there's that moment where Joey beats Chandler at foosball, celebrates, and we see quite how deeply Chandler's hurt at that point, don't we?
Yes, and we get that sort of evolution of their friendship because the first time they make up, Chandler says, oh, do we need to hug? And they're like, no, we don't need to hug. You know, it's like, we're not huggers yet. You know, that's not what we do yet. We're not at that level. And then by the end, the whole episode ends with Joey coming back in and hugging Chandler, doesn't it? And it's like a nice marker in their friendship of like, okay, we're hugging friends now, you know?
Yeah.
Tell you what Chandler really loves, mate. A games room. Why is he always suggesting games rooms when people move out? He does it when he moves in with Monica and Rachel moves out as well.
That's true.
Make it a games room. Let's make everything a games room. Let's have a spare bedroom, you nutter. Because spare bedrooms are a good asset to have in an apartment in the city, isn't it? My final observation about this storyline is, where is all the furniture when Joey's leaving? Why does he get it all? I mean, A, it's implausible that Joey bought almost any of it because he doesn't buy anything. You know, half the foosball table's about the only thing we'd know he definitely bought. And B, why is he taking both Barker lounges? And actually, I didn't skip on to the next episode. Is one of them back?
Well, actually, what I was about to say is it did automatically start playing the next episode for me. And the one thing I noticed is quite how hideous Joey's apartment is. And that's kind of the opening joke of the next episode is, yeah, look at all this incredibly tasteless stuff.
Yeah. So are the Barker loungers in there, though, or is Chandler... I would have thought they'd have taken one each. That's how I would have split the assets there, you know, if we'd have been moving out. Anyway, the apartment just looks very empty when Joey's leaving. And there you go. End of that bit. Should we have some adverts?
I would love to hear some adverts right now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Right. It's Jack's birthday, isn't it?
Yes, and a party with a guest list upon which almost everyone has bad hair.
Yes, it's not a fashionable party, is it? Maybe Joey and Chandler would have fitted in better there with their fleece and cardigan.
True. Have you ever worn a fleece to a party?
I absolutely can tell you for sure that I haven't. I rarely wear a fleece, but if I do, it's for an outdoor activity.
Fair.
Have you worn a fleece to a party?
No, I wore one in Iceland.
Yeah, absolutely understandable. I would say that counts as a practical consideration because Iceland is, by definition, icy.
Famously cold, yeah.
Famously cold. Richard's going with them. Richard has a Twinkie in the city. There's a whole...
Right.
Palaver.
The
yes.
word Twinkie, and yes. I think, well, for me, as a homosexual gay man,
yeah,
the word twink has quite a different, well I was going to say quite a different meaning, but I guess it doesn't really have it. No, I guess the meaning is actually the same. Young, fresh-faced person.
Yes, it's more associated with gay men, I'd say.
We've claimed that one. That's ours now.
In fact, if you look in the dictionary, as I have just done, because they have the Twinkie food, don't they?
What?
A small finger-shaped sponge cake is the first definition, the trademark Twinkie. But then the second one is a gay or effeminate man or a young man regarded as an object of homosexual desire.
Yeah, that feels like a comprehensive description.
Yeah, so it is interesting. Is it quite... It doesn't feel like
here
a thing.
Here comes a question from a straight man.
No, but it's I don't know. The word offensive isn't right, but it's not like it's got negative connotations.
It's a bit of a tired term.
Negative connotations, hasn't it? It just feels like the way they throw it around casually in this episode isn't in keeping with my understanding of that word, you know?
Yeah. I guess it just means young person, doesn't it?
Young hottie.
Yeah, a young hottie.
Talking of ugh, imagine watching your parents have sex.
I know. And there's also that point where Jack Geller jokes about shagging in front of his son. But yeah. I guess that would explain a lot as to Ross's behaviour and conversations in adult life. Well, it's because he's a Geller and they just talk about weird stuff like that in front of each other.
They really do, don't they? Although, you know... Got a credit where credit's due. Jack and Judy keeping the spark alive.
Mm. Well, it's his
50th, isn't it? Yeah.
50th?
Is that what he says?
He looks older than that.
Like, the consistency of the age problem is that Elliot Gould and Tom Selleck are supposed to be the same age. And Elliot Gould looks 100 and Tom Selleck looks about 40.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I think it's supposed to be his 50th, but I wouldn't like to place my chips on it, you know?
Another bit of language in this... this storyline is when Judy's friend says, "I bet she's so young that everything's still pointing up."
Yeah.
Does that mean tits?
Yeah. I think.
Do they point up?
No, I think if anything, they just point straight, right? Like.
What way do your tits point, please? That isn't a...
I'm glad you said that, because only you can get away with asking that question on this podcast.
Up feels like they're levitating.
Well, because Monica grabs hold of her tits, doesn't she? As if she's like, oh God, mine, are mine... I mean, the implication is the opposite of droopy, but you're quite right. I don't think
the opposite of droopy... Like, I can understand that with time, drooping occurs. But otherwise, before that happens, they're not pointing up. They're just, like, in their default position.
Oh, man. I agree. Just sort of in line. I don't know. Maybe, by the way, I've just sort of checked the script. Maybe Jack isn't 50 because he says, when I turned 50, I got the Porsche later on in that excellent joke. So maybe it is.
There is a joke about Judy at one point being 50 because he says it's like he's got two 25-year-olds.
Yeah, you're quite right, actually.
But she could feasibly be younger than him.
Yes, that is also true. But it's around that age, and my point stands that Tom Selleck looks good, and like, you don't look at Monica and Richard, do you, and think, I know there's an age gap, but you don't look at them immediately go, that's fucking weird and creepy.
No, I agree. I thought that when they were stood outside the house waiting to go in, like, actually, they look like a perfectly plausible match for each other.
Right, whereas if, like, Jack Geller turned up with, like, Rachel, you'd be like, what the fuck is going on there? That's weird.
Yeah.
And that is really what's really interesting about that. I think that's where they got the casting so right, so, like, bang on with Tom Selleck, because it is completely plausible, isn't it? It doesn't feel creepy or weird.
A couple of really good, like, physical bits. As we mentioned, there's the great bit with the bat when Ross takes that away from Jack. Also, the comedy timing of the spraying of the squirty cream.
Yes.
Is great as well. There's a few little bits like that.
Yeah, it's a really... That whole sort of sequence where they're doing the big reveal and Ross is like, oh, is that Crystal? And taking... Ross sort of... what's the word? Just like pottering.
Oh, he's very
anxiously.
Much like the comic relief here, isn't he?
Yeah.
From he's sort the of tension.
Darting backwards and forwards, isn't he? Just trying to keep it all going. And then when he sort of tries to almost kettle the crowd of people back out when they're coming in with the cake at the end. Again, he just looks... He plays that part really well, and it really carries that scene through. What I really like about that scene as well is when Judy turns around and realises... And Richard's smile there is so funny. His sort of, like, slightly smug, self-satisfied smile, where he's like, yep, and what you gonna do? But he delivers that so well. It's so brilliant. What is slightly creepy is Judy trying to set up Monica up with Richard's son, not because that's a weird thing in the current circumstances, but because it actually happens later.
That's true. It works.
And when it happens later, you don't go, oh, that's the maddest thing in the world. You go, it's a bit weird. But in the context of watching this episode, that is the maddest thing in the world, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
Monica trying to have sex with Richard's son. Ugh. I'd like to take issue with Ross's sentence when he's trying to get out of it by saying, Mum, there are so many people in my life. Some of them are dating people. Some of them aren't. Ross has six people in his life.
That's true.
He has his five friends and Carol.
Yeah.
That is all.
Yeah.
He cannot plausibly claim to not be able to keep up with all their relationships. Here's the main thing about the scene, Pete. And I don't know if you've got any more notes on this before I get onto the big finale.
The only other point I'd make is that it's just horrible time for them to tell Monica's parents on Jack's birthday. But
yeah,
the opportunity arises and they go for it, don't they?
Yeah, I think it's taken advantage of a situation more so than because they weren't really planning it, were they? But yeah, it does ruin a good day, doesn't it, for poor old Jack. But talking of Jack, that is the subject of the big finale. Because did you notice at the end of the episode, it fades to black and the credits are just over black?
Which yes, quite nothing really happens.
Friends. No, nothing happens. But it actually does, Pete.
What do you mean?
Check your phone. I'm sending you the script for the deleted end scene.
Oh.
I think we should
do a reading. Are we performing this? Okay.
I would have thought so. Would you like to be Monica or Jack Geller?
I'll be Monica.
Okay, so this is after Joey's just hugged Chandler. It's on the DVD's extended version still, but just not on the Netflix or the sort of TV versions. It's worth noting, it's really worth noting before we start this, and this becomes important towards the end. I'm going to send you a picture of what Jack is wearing in this scene, okay?
Okay. Oh, it's very Inspector Gadget.
Yes, it's like a proper Inspector Gadget, big black hat. Okay, so that becomes important. So, Jack says, I just stopped by to your boyfriend's to give him a piece of my mind.
And?
And I was going to punch him in the nose, but he had the game on, so we started watching it. Then at half time, I was going to give him what for, but then he offered me a beer. And you know what?
What?
He's got it on tap, right in his apartment. The damn thing is built right into his bar. It's unbelievable.
Dad, did you talk about me?
Oh, right. Well, actually, we never got to you. Look, you're a big girl. I just hope you know what you're doing.
I do. Dad, you're wearing the tie I got you.
Yeah.
Where'd you get the hat?
I don't know. That's the end of the scene.
I wonder why that got cut.
He takes the hat off and says, I don't know. It's really weird. I watched it earlier.
Is it a suggestion that he's drunk and has drunkenly picked up a hat from somewhere?
I genuinely can't work out what the joke is.
How odd.
Very strange, isn't it? Because it's such a strange hat as well. It doesn't fit with him at all. You know, he never wears that hat. So, yeah, there you go. That's the final scene of the episode, which was cut for Netflix and DVD and TV versions. And, yes, it's easy to see why, isn't it, at that stage?
Shall we see if our favourite lines match up?
Oh, yeah, what are your favourite lines? I've got quite a lot. There's so many in this episode.
For me, all three of these are because of the way that they are performed.
Yes.
I love Monica's upstairs in the bathroom right before you felt up, Mom.
Yeah, great.
Like, her delivery of that is so good. I also love Chandler's, stop talking, okay, when he's on his own at the party and he finds himself on his own.
Not on my list either.
And my final one is... Joey and Chandler, when they've fallen out, partly about the cereal and the spoon licking, yeah. And Joey says, you'll be able to spend more time with your real friends, the spoons.
The spoons, yeah, that's on my list. That's so funny. That's just the pettiness with which he delivers that is so funny, and it's so in keeping with their argument. All right, I get, because you've chosen that one, I'm going to choose three more, because I had about six, and I didn't know what to choose. Another one that I really just enjoyed for the way it was delivered, and it's quite a morbid line, but Monica says to Richard, maybe we should tell your parents first, and he just goes, my parents are dead.
Yeah,
and it's such a nice moment. What is this, 1922? What's 1922? You know, a long time ago.
Yeah.
Phoebe saying that, and then the following line, where she goes, and then there was suffrage, which was a good thing, but it sounds horrible.
Yeah, that is a good line.
A very funny line. Honourable mentions to the moment where Ross interrupts Jack when he's about to say, you know, one of these weekends you could borrow the Porsche and I could borrow, and Ross says, I beg you not to finish that. But then I think my favourite in the whole thing, just from the pullback, is when Chandler says to Joey, your little men are going to get scored on more times than your sister. And Joey goes, whoa, 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 whoa. Which sister? And it's just, it's a really nice pullback, that. Yeah, good. It's really, I mean, it's early Friends, isn't it? So it's gag after gag after gag. Very enjoyable time. Shall I play a small musical break and we'll do the quiz?
Yes, the quiz from Amy who requested the episode, not the fourth quiz at Amy.
Oh, Amy's trying to move on territories, are they? The Amy's...
Civil battle. War among the Amy's.
Civil Amy War. Okay, I haven't seen this quiz, so do you want to hit me?
Do I want to hit you? I have on occasion wanted to, but...
What the quiz, Peter?
Question one. Who did Joey and Chandler have a water balloon fight with?
The kids across the street. The high school kids across the street?
Junior high kids.
Oh, that's high school, isn't it?
Yeah, you can have that.
Thanks.
Question two. What is the age difference between Monica and Richard? Didn't you say this earlier?
I don't know if I did, but it's 21 years, isn't it?
Yeah, correct. Question three. What does it say on the sign outside the tattoo parlor that Rachel and Phoebe go in? I have no idea.
Ooh, no idea, no.
The world famous ink spot professional tattooing.
Did not get that one, did we?
Question four. What specifically is Jack looking for when he finds Judy in the bathroom?
Oh, I knew this was going to come on. I didn't write it down.
Oh, it's the bat.
No, it is the bat, but it's like a specific type of bat, isn't it?
Oh. It's a Harmon Killebrew bat.
Right, there you go. Harmon Killebrew bat. Would not have got that in a million years.
And finally, what colour is Chandler's toothbrush?
Red.
Correct. Well done.
I'll take 3 out of 5, Pete. I'll absolutely take it.
Hey, want to know what next week's episode is?
Do I?
It's a request from two separate people.
Oh, a doubler.
And it is season 8, episode 18, the one in Massapequa.
Oh, good. Alec Baldwin. Interesting time to talk about Alec Baldwin, isn't it?
Yes, it's true.
Let's leave all that out of it, shall we? We'll just talk about Alec Baldwin back in the day and Friends.
Yes.
Okay. On that strange note, see you next week.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.